Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Hello, good morning. How are you? On the programme today, Mental Health Minister Mary Butler responds to lost cases, forgotten patients, burnt out staff and dirty facilities in child and adolescent mental health services. We meet the healthy 24-year-old living in a Dutch nursing home and hear about his radical efforts to change dementia care. Brian O'Connell reports from Carsveen, where the town's first Ukrainian cafe has opened. As Dublin prepare to face Kerry, Marty Morrissey looks ahead to Sunday's All-Ireland football final. And can you catch a cold from the cold? Do you lose most of your heat through your head? Shane Bergen explodes myths about the human body. And of course, our Friday gathering will be here to discuss all of the big stories of the week. You can text us 51551. You can also email todaycb@rte.ie. I want to begin, though, with one of the stories from the headlines there, that murder trial that gripped the country 4 years ago and could possibly be reopened before the end of the day. Patrick Quirk will hear later on if an appeal against his conviction for the murder of Bobby Ryan, who is known as Mr. Moonlight, has been successful. I'm joined by Shane Phelan, Legal Affairs Editor with the Irish Independent. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning.
Let's go back a little bit in time to his disappearance in June of 2011. Remind us of the background and what happened.
So Bobby Ryan was in a relationship with a lady called Mary Lowry. He was a part-time DJ who went by the name Mr. Moonlight. He was well-liked. It was, I suppose, the second relationship for both of them, and they were quite happy together. The difficulty was, though, that Bobby Ryan had somehow found himself in a love triangle situation where his new partner had been previously having a relationship with a married man, Patrick Quirk, a local farmer who was actually renting her land. And Patrick Quirk himself was married, but wanted to continue the relationship with Mary Lowry even after she broke it off and found a new love in her life. And what we had here during a 15-week trial was, I suppose, a tale that shed light on this love triangle. There was issues of money and land and obsession involved, and it captured an awful lot of interest at the time. Bobby Ryan left Mary Lowry's house about 6:30 a.m. on June the 2nd, and she thought things were a little bit strange because it was about 10 minutes later that she heard a van cross the cattle grid at the end of her drive, and that was longer than usual. It took longer than usual for his car to leave, but she didn't think a whole lot more about it until later that day. It was clear that Bobby Ryan was missing. His car was found in a car park in a woods a distance away from her house, and that became the focus of a missing persons search, and people were looking. And little did they know that he was actually, his body lay no more than 60 meters away from her home, in an underground a tank, a disused kind of waste tank that was where mud and milk and cow dung and chemicals and so on would be gathered. And this would be, I suppose the prosecution described this as a concrete sarcophagus. His body remained in there for almost 2 years, undiscovered. And it was only discovered by the man who was later found to have killed him. Patrick Quirk alerted people to the fact the body was there, and during the trial, the prosecution argued that this was a staged discovery, that Patrick Quirk was about to lose his access to the land. His lease was about to be up. Things were not going well between him and Mary Lowry, and that he told people where the body was, because the game was up in that respect.
And but central to all of this, and central to what's happening now, Shane, is a search that he performed on his computer about how long it takes bodies to decompose in water. But like much of the other evidence against him, it was circumstantial, because there was never a smoking gun, was there, in this murder investigation? There was no conclusive forensics or anything like that.
No, I mean, we still don't really know how Bobby Ryan died. There's differing opinions on that. And the case against Patrick Quirk really, really was circumstantial. The investigators, they were able to build up a picture of, a person who was obsessed, who wanted to rekindle this relationship, who was devious and so on. But you're right, there was no real smoking gun. And the computer evidence was really a key part of the circumstantial case, because it demonstrated that he was looking up articles online in relation to the decomposition of human remains. And a strange thing to be looking up,
but not in and of itself conclusive of murder, absolutely not. And the fear amongst Bobby Ryan's relatives now is that without that piece of evidence, the grounds for conviction will prove to be slim. On what basis is it that Patrick Quirk has appealed this computer evidence?
So, he appealed this because it wasn't specified on the search warrant used by Gardaí to seize the computer, that they were looking for computer evidence. And this was an issue during the trial. The trial judge allowed the evidence in. And it was also an issue in the Court of Appeal. He had more than 50 grounds in the Court of Appeal, and those were all rejected by the court. The Court of Appeal did have things to say about the search warrant issue. They said, it's suboptimal that this was specifically omitted from the warrant, but they found it was not in the nature of a fundamental error. But then the Supreme Court said, well, look, we're going to take a look at this issue again. And in a ruling earlier this year, Mr. Justice Peter Charlton found that the warrant should have specified that it was anticipated computers might be seized during the search. And this was because computers relate to what he called non-physical space. And when you enter into a digital space, it involves the automatic loss of privacy rights on a vast scale. So in a nutshell, the judge said, you really, really need to have some level of judicial oversight before a warrant like that is issued. So it's a very curious aspect of this case as to why the guards didn't specify it. Because in all likelihood, they wouldn't have had any difficulty getting the warrant if they did specify that there were computers anticipated. I mean, it's a no-brainer, really. I think in every criminal investigation where you're entering a house these days, computer evidence, phone evidence, and so on, it's kind of almost taken as a given that Absolutely. You're going to be looking for that.
Well, perhaps everybody thought that it was. Perhaps I was going to say everybody thought that it was implied. So, what are the range of options that the Supreme Court has in front of it here, from retrial at one end of the spectrum, right up to okay, look, the warrant might have been suboptimal, but we'll give it retrospective a thumbs up.
Yeah, so what today is about is the practical implications of that earlier ruling. Quirk's lawyers have said there should be a retrial and that a decision on the admissibility of that evidence is a question for a trial judge to deal with in a new trial. The state on the other side have said, look, hands up, there was an error. You know, the district court judge who gave the warrant should have been told about the intention to seize and search computers. But what they've argued is that the Supreme Court can itself decide that the evidence was admissible. That may well turn come to pass. We'll find out, I suppose, in the next hour or so. There is precedent for evidence which was obtained illegally to be still considered to be admissible. There's a Supreme Court ruling in that regard, and in that previous Supreme Court case, the court ruled that, you know, where evidence was obtained in breach of someone's constitutional rights, it could still be deemed to be admissible, provided the illegality involved was inadvertent. So if the Supreme Court, you know, turns around and says, well, look, yeah, it wasn't great what the guards did, but there was no badness in it. It was inadvertence. It was maybe just being a bit sloppy, but, you know, the evidence should still be applied here. That is a possibility that's open.
I think people will remember the victim's daughter in this, Michelle Ryan, because she was a very courageous and articulate voice in support of her father and pursuit of justice for him. Do you know how she and the family might be feeling now? I'd say that these are quite nervous hours for them.
They are. I spoke to Michelle quite extensively after that initial Supreme Court ruling, and she described herself as being angry and disgusted by it. And she said she feared that, you know, ultimately her father's killer could be set free someday. She told me that she was absolutely convinced that Patrick Quirk was guilty. But she was also cognizant of the fact that it was a circumstantial case and that the computer evidence was a key part of that evidence. In her own words, she said that the computer evidence tied Quirk to the murder, and that without it, the case was thin and far from clear cut. She said, you know, if you take the computer away, what do you have? You have that things went sour between Patrick Quirk and Mary Lowry, and that Mary Lowry found her father. And you have that Patrick Quirk was there in clean clothes lifting the lid on the tank. Was that enough to put anyone behind bars? She didn't think it was. Was the fact that he was, you know, interfering with Mary Lowry's underwear on her clothesline afterwards, was that enough? No, it wasn't. And those are bits of evidence that came out during the trial that she was referencing there. So they, you know, it is nervous times for them, and you could see how they, you know, quite rightly would be kind of upset that things have gone this far. So it's high stakes for them today.
Indeed it is, and we'll have an answer to that question possibly while we're still on air here this morning. Shane Phelan, Legal Affairs Editor of the Irish Independent, thank you very much. Coming up, Mental Health Minister Mary Butler responds to lost cases, forgotten patients and dirty facilities in child and adolescent mental health services.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.